I hope you understand how essential God's word is to our walk. In fact, it's a must. You cannot do it without God's word. And so many people are in God's word, but are still not getting where they need to be. Why is that happening? What exactly is going on? We tend to look through this and try to understand this, and we miss it because we allow man to interject what he thinks is the problem. Remember, the Bible is our instruction. It's our guidance from God. So looking at the Bible, it tells us how to understand the Bible. We're going to go through this and get that understanding of how to exactly understand the Bible. The name of this Order My Steps is Keys to Understanding the Bible. Now, God showed when Jesus was asking the religious leaders a question, or he was placing something in front of them of something that he's seen, and it fits so many today when you think about it. He says, and we see that many study the Bible without ever getting to know the Bible. And you see that today. You'll have people that are in the Bible. They'll read the Bible. They'll take notes from the Bible. But as he says in John 5:39-40, he says, you diligently study the scriptures, which is a compliment, which is should be something we're all doing, diligently studying, not just casually studying, not here and there, but this is something that is done on a daily basis, and that's good. He's saying you do this. He says, because you think that by them you possess eternal life, which is great because they show us how to get access to eternal life. Still good. And then he makes clear, these are the scriptures that testify about me. But watch this. In verse 40, he says, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Keep that in mind. Do you see, everything else they did was right, but there was something that stopped the understanding. He says, you refuse to come to me to have life. We're going to talk about that. But he also says that many are constantly learning. They're getting in, taking in situations, saying they're understanding it, while actually they're learning nothing. And we see this as a product of what we call terrible time people. 2 Timothy 3 verse 7, because if you start in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it kind of tells you who the terrible time people are. And he says, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. So these are people that are taking it in, but getting nothing. Why is that? Let's understand that how we understand the Bible is not just based on if we study the Bible. It is also based on how. The how is huge. Because many will do it their own way, but there is a way to do it. Now, I've given many steps here. There's going to be 12 steps in all, coming from God's word. The first four are going to give you the basis that you must have before, in order to receive understanding. This is the things that you must come to grips with and have a full understanding and acceptance of. Okay, these are things you have to have first. The fifth one is going to be the core foundation of learning and understanding. Okay, and it's a must what you choose and what this thing does for us. And then the last set of steps are going to then show you how to gain understanding. Now, God is precise in this, so let's pay close attention to what he gives us. First of all, you must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. Only Christians are really going to grab the Bible. And a Christian has to be a Christian. We do fruit or something of that sort every year. And the reason being is what Christians are lacking is spirituality. In other words, many try to understand the Bible intellectually. Now, understanding the Bible intellectually is going to allow you to place you in front of understanding. And the Bible makes clear we're not supposed to lean upon our own understanding. And this is what causes confusion. This is what causes us to ignore some things and to overemphasize other things and to misinterpret some things, because we're allowing what we see in our intelligence, which is limited. I don't care how brilliant you are, is limited. And I'll show you how just using this verse. Or some people like to access the Bible emotionally. They go to it for an emotion movement within the flesh. They want it to make them feel better. all of these things come then where I want an emotional movement with the Bible. I want some excitement with the Bible. And when you preach it to me, I want that. And unfortunately, that's limited. And that's deceptive because it's based on your desired feeling. And then you have those who are in ignorance. I'll read it, and if I don't get it, oh, well, no big deal. I tried, right? And they'll stop, and they kind of don't want to understand. They want to stay in their ignorance. They want to stay in what they think the answer is. Or you got those that are culturally understanding. And why I use this is so important because you'll go to different parts of the world or different parts of our times or different areas of people who are within their own little group, whatever that group consists of. And their understanding of the Bible will be based on those groups, those times, those areas, and not based on God. You'll see they only fit their areas. You'll see their structure and the foundation is that culture and not the Word of God. See, the key is it has to be spiritual. Why? Well, look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. It says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Y'all get this, okay? And why do we get spirit from God? That we may understand what God has freely given us. So as a Christian, we all have access with the spirit of understanding. Not my own understanding. He gives me understanding through his spirit. And then he makes clear on what the word is saying and what we are supposed to be preaching. He says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. This is so why it's so important when you get some of these scholars and they're trying to awe you in their intelligence, but not giving you the word, you could be misled. Do y'all get this? I don't want words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Ah, this is the word of God, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Hopefully you catch that. So all of this stuff is spiritual. And as an analogy, it's like me coming to you and speaking German. I'm going to speak in what Germans believe, and it's going to come in a German language using German words. So I don't care how smart you are, unless you know German, you're not going to get it. Do you understand that? I mean, you may have some words in there that may sound alike or sound like an American word, but for the most part, a lot of them are going to sound like it and have absolutely nothing to do with American words. So you'll just be confused. You won't know it. In the same way, if I'm not spiritual, this word is not going to make sense to me. In fact, he goes on to say, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him. Did y'all catch that? And this is exactly what happens. They'll read it and they'll go, what? Now, you'll also know those who are kind of faking it, who call themselves Christians, and they'll use the Bible when it's convenient for them. The way you know it's foolishness to them also is, one, how they're using it, and two, they only choose certain things out of the Bible, things that make sense to what they feel. We're going to talk about that, but that's important for you to know. So it's not just those who are not reading the Bible, who have nothing to do with the Bible. It's those who are using the Bible for their own agenda. It's still foolishness to them because you'll see them how they'll tear it apart to fit their agenda. And watch what he says. And he cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Do you see this? In other words, I'll only be able to recognize the spiritual from the unspiritual by having the Spirit. So I have to be spiritual. This is so necessary for me to be spiritual in order for me to truly understand the Word of God. Some man on his own just can't sit down and read the Bible. I've met many people who are not Christian who sat down and I read the Bible, and this is what they'll say, and they don't get it. There's no further. There's nothing. It's just another book, and they'll read it just like they do any other book out there. But the spirituality process, God allows for those who are called, and then the understanding comes through him. So that's the first thing. Secondly, you must recognize the Bible is from God, not man. Man just wrote what God said. A trend that's going around, and it's been going on and off, is you'll have ministers that'll use whoever wrote it based on the name, like Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and you'll see Peter added to it, and we'll see John. And if you notice, I said they wrote, but it's not them that wrote it, and we're about to see that. But the men will teach this. They'll teach as if, because Paul wrote it, you don't really have to listen to it as much, but if Peter wrote it, you really have to listen to it. Only if it's in the gospel, then you got to really grasp it, and they kind of separate the Bible based on who they say is the writer or the times. But look what the Bible itself says about that. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, he says, all scripture is God breathed. Did y'all catch that? Not some. He says, all scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is what's supposed to be used, just the scripture. It's not something Paul wrote. This is from God. Paul just passed it on to us. It says in verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why you got to be careful with some of the books that are out there, because some of the books kind of treat it as Paul was sitting there one day and this came to his mind, and in his brilliance, he wrote this down. And we're supposed to trust Paul. Do you understand? Nope. Paul was given through God the words, and that's what we're getting. We also see in 2 Peter 1:20-21, he says, above all, you must understand. Like I said, this is something you have to accept. The minute you don't, you're going to have a lot of questions. You're going to be confused. And to be honest with you, it's not an arguing point. It's not something for somebody to prove. It's for you to accept. This is fully a faith-based acceptance. You choose not to, that's up to you. But if you don't believe this, you're going to go all over the place. And I've seen people that struggle with that of, well, who wrote it? How long? Has man tampered with it? And we really just take God, who's the Almighty God, in one breath. And then next minute, we're saying, man just messed up everything this Almighty God put out there for us. And what does he say? He says, above all, you must understand, so this is up to us, that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. He's saying it wasn't even something that they sat there and went, wait a minute, let me put this together so I can give it to the people. No, not at all. He's saying none of it was based on their interpretation. It was given to us clearly. It says in verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this is completely from God. It's not even an interpretation. It's not even them trying to put it in their own words. Do you get it? You were getting what God said. You got to know that. So you're going into it to receive God's truths. If you go into it questioning God, you're already lost. Thirdly, we must recognize the Bible is timeless. Another trend people are using is how it's out of date and it was meant for certain times. In fact, there are certain things like concerning hair, concerning leaders in ministry, concerning marriage, in which people are calling outdated. They're basically saying, oh, we don't do that anymore. That was meant for that time. The problem with that excuse is I can't find that answer in the Bible. The all-knowing and the forever God, how is it that he wouldn't let me know, hey, this is just going to be set for a time? God lets us know because he shows us the transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So he gives us that clearly. So why wouldn't he tell us of any transition that we're going through now? That, hey, many of this is not going to be meant for you. He does not do that. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, this is Jesus Christ, which we know in John 1, is the Word. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And in fact, you might go, well, Pastor, you just said the Old Testament is different than the New Testament. Oh, no, no. It was all a path to the same thing. Because you look in Colossians 2, it told us that the Old Testament was a shadow of what we're doing in the New Testament. In other words, it was an image of. And because they didn't have access, like we have access to the Holy Spirit, they did actions to look spiritual while we can be spiritual. Hopefully you're grasping this. Okay, so that excuse never flies. You can't go where our hair was because this time they look like this. Well, ministers, they only could do this because during this time they. When you start hearing those excuses, that's great only if the Bible says it. Please don't take a man's answer or excuse not to follow God. And very important, and we give this to every Christian that's a new Christian, let go of the old way of thinking in every way and look to the Bible for the right way to think. Now, this is going back to the first two things where he says you search the scriptures daily. Many people right now, if we're being honest, if we stop for a minute and just really look at our lives, there are certain things that mean a lot to us. There are certain ideologies, there are certain doctrines, there are certain things that are going on in the world that we hold tight to our value. You could tell. You get in a conversation, and I'll watch people. You watch it when they talk about politics. You watch it when they talk about race. You watch it when they talk about just my personal life, my likes and my dislikes. And you'll watch how we all of a sudden become defensive and change. Now, if I did that for spiritual reasons, that's one thing. But when you see me doing it for desired reasons, those aren't going to go away, the feelings of them. But when you see me change, it's because I haven't let go of them. They still play a part in my walk. And he tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. He's letting you know that the way the world does it, stop doing it completely. What he didn't say is choose the things that you really think are really working out and hold on to them and then come follow me. It's not what he said. And many are doing that. You know, both liberal and conservative, quote unquote, Christians are not Christians. Why? Because they're allowing the liberal part to be the foundation, or they're allowing the conservative part to be the foundation. And neither of those are the Christ part. You might see bits and pieces of things that may look like they're in agreement in both of those, but there's also huge bits and pieces that are not in line with him. So if it's not with him, it's against him. So the Bible shows us that. So I have to look at these things and the things that I feel strong about, and I still have some of those feelings and those strong thoughts and whatever they may be about, and I realize if it's not from God, I can't stand on them. You see where I'm going? So I have to let them go. Many will hear me, and you still won't do it. And your understanding is going to be hindered. Your walk is going to be slowed. Your life is going to be confused. Because in order to do this, you have to get to the second part. I mean, in order to get to the second part, you have to do this. He says, but be transformed. Now, do y'all catch this? He says, be transformed. So this is something that he's saying to allow to happen to us. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now, if I keep holding on things in my mind, that means I'm not going to allow things to touch it. I've seen people become disturbed and frustrated when they read something in the Bible. Do you get this? Have you ever seen somebody that I've always believed is what they'll say. I always thought, and they'll read something clearly. And then you get a silence, a concern. Now, this is a crossroads. What are they going to do next? The ones who truly understand this is God drop what they used to believe, as we just read, no longer conforming to it, and do exactly what God says. And this is where the growth will happen. This is where the transformation will happen. But unfortunately, there are many that'll read it and they'll go, oh, I can't let go of what I've always believed. You'll see the problem here. Okay? And because they're not letting go, they're stuck. And because they're not following what he says. See, the renewing of our mind means I'm going in to get the answer and not what I thought was the answer. Do y'all get this? And he says the transformation will happen, and watch this. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this is not just talking about the individual will, just not necessarily written in the Bible, that God gives to each and every one of us. This is talking about his biblical will, because remember, his universal will, which comes from his Bible, you still see people not doing. Why? Because we're still conforming to the patterns of this world. We're still accepting things that mean a lot to us instead of what God says, period. You see, you must recognize what many are doing is trying to continue their old way while adding God's ways, which are opposite. In other words, I'm still, as I've been walking south all my life, and you say, Keith, I'm going to show you how to walk north, and you say, great, so I'm just going to choose some of the ways I used to walk south as I walk north. You can't do it. They're opposites. Get a chance. Read Romans 7 and 8. He shows they're opposites. You cannot do it. Now, that foundation you must have. Those first four you got to have in order to gain understanding. Now, the core to understanding, which has really been messed up, and why we have to be careful in what we're looking for, is the church. And I'm talking about not what we all are, because we're all the church. I'm talking about the church service, the church leadership part of what I am. And I take this very serious because it's the core part of how you are going to receive understanding in this word. So I have to look at the requirements that is provided to me from God, but so do you. Now, if you choose a church for any other reason than what we just went over and purpose and all this, you're already misled. There are people who are going to organizations that have another agenda than what we're about to read, because there is an agenda that God put in place with a purpose and an outcome. And if I don't go into it with this purpose and this outcome, I'll go to any organization. It's no different than being in a cult, because cults have other agendas with other outcomes. Let's see. This is very important for us to get it. So you must regularly attend a Bible teaching church. You don't want a feel good church. You don't want a makes me think I am what I'm not church. You don't want to, oh, all the people in it are like me, church. You don't want to, everybody thinks the way I think, church. You want a Bible teaching church. That's why in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now, breaking that down, you look at each of those offices, and each of them play a major part. Do you understand? They're just not just titles. You know, apostles started it off by spreading what Jesus said to spread. The prophets are the one who continued the whole New Testament, all of that. Remember it said that the prophet, the interpretation, scripture never came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Prophets gained, and that's how we got the rest of the New Testament. And then the evangelists are the ones that spread it. Do you understand that? All right. As the apostles extended it, the evangelists spread it. In other words, they start planting it and start planting groups of this learning center around the world. And then in those set certain plants, you have what's called pastors and teachers. The pastors are leaders and they teach. And then you have those that just teach with under those pastors. And that whole organization was put there purposely in order to do something. What? To prepare God's people for works of service. Did you get that? It's not to minister to people that are not Christians. Why? Because that works of service is what you're preparing the people to do. In other words, God's people come to church to get ministered to go out to minister to other people to come to church. Not, hey, just come to church, because some don't even do the job of ministering. And that's a whole study in itself. We're going to be doing that in an upcoming study, so stay tuned for that. But it's to teach the people who are part of the body of Christ to go out into the world and how to minister, which will then invite people to church that they may become part of that same body. Do you understand? So this is the works of service. You're teaching them from what God says how to do it. It says so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, did you catch this? Okay, so there's a purpose, and here's one of the results. So that the body of Christ, because I only play a part and you only play a part. So we are built up to play our part, but not individually, collectively. Okay, that's why it's called the body of Christ. It's singular. It's many parts, but one. And so the church is still doing this, and I have to watch it to a certain point until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Do y'all catch this? So I have to do this while everybody as a whole is coming in together in one faith and one relationship with Christ. And then mature in that. Did y'all catch that? So the church is now having everybody together, coming together in one faith, not these made up faiths and what you think is faith. No, the faith that the Bible teaches and the one knowledge or knowing of Christ and knowing the one Christ, not these multiple different Christs out here that people have made up. And then once they get that, maturing. Why? Because it's only those who mature who can receive the solid food, and by constant use will know the difference between good and evil. Isn't that what the Bible says? And then once that happens, you're attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If we were not so distracted today, do you see how beautiful that would be? Unfortunately, we keep allowing other stuff to happen. If we would follow this pattern, if the church would do this, here's the result. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. It's disturbing sometimes when I hear people listen to some people, and it's not that they have a question. They're confused now. Why? Because the person was so convincing. The Bible sets us up so you're never this, tossed back and forth and go, oh, I used to believe this, but now I believe this. Why? Because you're using other factors than what the Bible said to use to understand the Bible. So some guy will get up there and teach you something using something he said he seen and give you some concept. And instead of you checking the Bible, I mean fully checking the Bible, and we're going to talk about that, you, oh, wow, that makes sense. Did y'all catch that? That makes sense. You start allowing your sense, not your faith, be your guiding point. And now you're following this and you added this to your walk. And I heard some ministers say this and now you're confused. In fact, if the church was following this whole pattern, verse 15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, so that's the first thing, that the truth will be spoken using love. It's not just speaking the truth. You got a lot of people that don't speak the Bible, but they don't add that one element that adds what's needed in the Bible. It says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. So all of us playing our part will follow the one brain, which is Christ. That's why it says that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's a collective done, perfectly done by God. That's the church's responsibility. If that's not what you're getting, the church is not doing its job. Do you get this? This is a struggle because there's a lot of feel-good organizations that are doing a lot of worldly things that really look good, that make you feel good, that make you feel a part of stuff, and that's all great, but there's a lot of worldly organizations that are doing the exact same thing. Ain't nothing for to have an organization that you're a part of that does those things on the side, but if I'm not getting this, I'm not growing. Satan doesn't care what distractions you have as long as you're distracted. This is why I have under 5A where you must make sure it's a true Bible teaching church by making sure the messages are from the word. This is our responsibility. When he says in Acts 17:11, God is inspiring him. That's why he says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? For they received the message with great eagerness. That's the first thing. If I go to church and I'm thinking of what I'm going by, what I'm going through, man, am I tired? I got stuff going on. What the heck is he talking about? If I do not receive the word, I already blew it. Even if you think, well, I don't know and I don't get it. I have to first receive the word. Somebody made a very good point. Sometimes you hear these sermons and you go, I don't get it. I hear them up there just preaching. I don't get it. You must take notes on what they said. Write down what they said. Even if you don't get it, write it down. That's the receiving the message with great eagerness. That is our responsibility. I go to church and I don't allow my surroundings to take me away from what I'm hearing. I'm here to receive the word. And then he says, and examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The thing that's going to keep me is the word. Time after time, I can see that being tossed here and there because I've heard ministers say stuff that I go, wow. But then my next responsibility is me to now check what they said and to see if that's what the word says. Is it based on the foundation of sound doctrine? So that's the core. You got to have that, and it must be the right place in order to do it. Now, here's then how you gather understanding, because you're in this thing of understanding and you got to be part of this and you got to look for the right church. You have to first stay in the word only. There are a lot of books out here. You have men that are out here that are very what's called well-read. They'll read these books and you'll listen to what other people say. You'll hear them say, I heard this person said that and I want to be more like him. But look what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:6. It says, now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, watch this, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. You got people that have become Christians that follow these leaders that have written their own books. Now, here's the problem with those books. They will use scripture, but they don't use scripture to teach you scripture. They use scripture to support their agenda. Read these books closely. They'll have a concept, and they'll go and use the Bible to support their concept. Now, the way you'll know it's wrong is because they'll use bits and pieces of the Bible. They'll use bits and pieces of the Bible, not the entire Bible. We're going to come to how we make that change. Do you understand? When he says, do not go beyond what is written, if I would just use the word of God, what I would realize, what I would definitely recognize is in the word of God, I then have the true understanding of what this means. But if I allow man to interject, which we keep doing, we keep allowing man to put his two cents in, and that's about all it's worth. And because we do that, we start getting confused and getting misled. Once again, our fault. You'll start hearing them quote other men and not the word. I heard one ministry where the guy was quoting C.S. Lewis more than he quoted the word of God, that if you didn't know any better, you would think C.S. Lewis' word was equal to God. I don't care what you think of C.S. Lewis, and I don't care what you think of Billy Graham or any other teacher out there. Mine is, I don't care what those guys said, as long as what they're saying is the word. So you don't have to quote them. Hopefully they led you back to the word anyway. Do you see the difference? And in order to do this, point seven shows that all teaching must be with sound doctrine. You hear that term? Let's understand what that means. It shows us in Titus 2, verse 1, you must teach. You must. This is mandatory. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Now, I put Matthew 4, verse 7 in the parentheses, because if you remember, Satan used scripture when he went against Jesus. Do y'all remember that? Go back and read it. Okay? And Jesus said three words that shows us the difference or how to use sound doctrine. Because time after time, people will hear a sermon or they'll read a book and they'll come back and they say, yep, and he used scripture. And I'll go, okay. All right. Sounds great. Let's listen to it. At times when I get the chance to listen to it, yep, they use scripture. The problem is the scripture wasn't sound. It wasn't that it was even out of context. In fact, what you read was exactly how they used it, period. But if you notice, Jesus responded with, it is also written. The Bible complements itself. It solidifies itself. That's why he says it must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Not a scripture here, not a scripture there. We got to see that clearly in what Satan tried to do. So why then do we still allow a scripture here and a scripture there? Because we usually lean upon our own ideas. Think about that. How many times have you heard a message and it was pleasing to you? And because it was pleasing to you, you were less prone to go looking into it because you liked it and you want to make sure it stands. I've heard messages where, oh, so that's okay, and stopped. Until I realized, Keith, if you would have checked, you would have realized it's not okay because it is also written. So then, after I know it's going to be sound doctrine, I do what the Bereans did and I test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Did you catch that? Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. But I have to first test it to know what is good and what is evil. And no way did he say, hold on to what you think is right and let go what you think. No, no. I have to test everything using what God has given me. You see this. That's my responsibility. Test everything. I always tell everybody, when you hear my sermons or anybody else, don't just take my word for it. Test it. And to test it, you have to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Back in the Old Testament, we kind of get a hint to how this works in Genesis 40, verse 8, when he was approached with the two having dreams. And if you notice his response, it was both had dreams, they answer, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream. Now, look what he's saying. He's stressing to them not just dream interpretations, all interpretations. When I try to understand life, when I understand dreams, when I try to understand situations, when I understand the word, let God interpret it. So when I learn, let the Bible interpret the Bible, clear things up. When we say everybody has their own interpretation, that's called chaos. That's not of God. Do you get this? Once the Bible interprets it, that's it. We'll all be on the same page. And in order for us to have this, we have to have faith. Through faith, stop going to the Bible to support what you think you understand. Go to the Bible for understanding. Many people come to church and they already have stuff in their head, certain beliefs, certain things they've done, certain things that seem like they work, whatever that means. That whole they work means in my life, the path I think I'm supposed to take, it looks like it's working in the way that I think it should be working. Do you get this? That's why you have some people. And it's disturbing, but it's the way it works. And I don't care who is in whatever way. We hear the disturbing thing where some people are mad because some people say, man, times have changed. There was a time when America was good. You'll hear that. And you'll hear other people going, I don't know what you're talking about. It was never good, because we're going by our experiences, not by God. Let God define when something is good or when something's not that good. Do you get it? It's like when the rich man went and called him good teacher. Went to Jesus, and Jesus' response is, why do you call me good? Only God is good. We usually still define things based on where we think, how they affected us, how we see it. That's called vain conceit. I allow how I see it. So in order to do that, I first must have faith. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, for we also had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard, watch this, was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, faith would make me go, got it, and go do it. Here's what happens today. I read it and I was bothered by it. I read it and I was disturbed. I read it and went and asked somebody for another answer. Why? Because even though I clearly seen it in God's word, it didn't fit what I wanted to hear. That's a lack of faith. Faith is, I want to receive what God says, period. The only other thing you'll check is to make sure it's in accordance with God's, with sound doctrine, with everything God said. But if you don't have this, this is what the people of old struggle with, and this is what many Christians do today. Because to have faith, I have to completely trust in God. And that's why it says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When it says lean not on my own understanding, that was a significant change in my life. That's why people always hear this verse. I love this passage. Was one of those changing points in my life, because when I looked at it, my struggle, thinking I'm an intellectual and really realizing I'm not, was a thing where I would struggle with the word, trying to make what I thought I had everything figured out instead of just taking what he said. See, those who trust in God are going to the word of God just to get instruction, period. Everybody else is going to God to get pieces of what they are willing to accept and ignoring things they're not. They're leaning upon their own understanding, and they're not trusting God. If we would do in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, that means, well, the Bible says this is why I'm doing this. If the Bible says this, do you see this? In everything. You know how the word says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You would have biblical foundation for everything you do. Not, well, I didn't see anything wrong with it. I think it's okay. Biblical foundation for everything you do. And if you do that, it says he will make your path straight. Too many times we're doing what we think is right, only to find out later, sometimes way later, wait, man, I messed up. Why did you mess up? You were doing it. If you would have just gone to him, like he said, in all your ways acknowledge him. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. I don't care how brilliant you think you are. Fear the Lord and shun evil means I'm just going to do what he says. You ever see the kids that go, I can do it, and I know, and they look at parents like they don't know what they're talking about. And in many cases, that could be the case. But the training of a parent to a child is to put them in the path of one that is never wrong. So when it says do not be wise in your own eyes, it means I don't care what you have figured out. What did I tell you to do? When we do what he says, we stay out of evil. When we do what we think, it may seem like it works, but in the end leads to death. Do y'all catch this? The key to all of this is us truly following him, recognizing him. doing what he says, despite how we see it or how we feel. And then when you put all of this together, do what it says. You got to do, you have these scholars, these brilliant men that are in the word, but their lives are not mimicking what he says. James 1, 22 through 25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Did you catch that? And remember, he says, do not be deceived. Many are doing this. They'll be able to quote scripture. They'll be able to tell you how they went to the Bible, but you watch their lives and you don't see what they just read. And they're living a deceived life. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And he kind of explains this, 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Why did you look in the mirror? To see what you look like. So then when you left and you forget it, it was all worthless. Your purpose was to see what you look like. And the purpose is gone. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. So I'm continue going to it for the right purpose, not forgetting what he heard. In other words, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I just got and keep it in me. And by doing it, by responding, by whatever it means, he will be blessed in awe in what he does. This whole entire concept comes together. Hopefully you grasp this. Hopefully you recognize this. Because then when you're done, you repeat. And you do this till the day you die. 2 Peter 1, 13 through 15 says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will be able to always be able to remember these things. You want repetition. You want to hear the message over and over again. This is going to be a part of gaining that understanding in order to keep it richly in me. This understanding is a process. You follow these, you'll start understanding, and you'll gain understanding, and you'll grow in maturity, and you'll see you have to do it together with other brothers and sisters. We got to get rid of these other agendas and things we have in our lives that are competing with growing and knowing God. All of those things have to play through our growing and knowing God. And you'll see some you'll get rid of, some you'll change how you deal with them. Purpose will change. So let us stop just going through the motions and let us start understanding. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your patience, for your grace, for your mercy, for providing us with everything we need in order to have this understanding. Help us, dear God, to walk in such a way that we're receiving it, that we're doing all that we can to live in it, to pay attention to you and not lean upon ourselves. We know everything that you have given us is for your purpose, so let us use it according to you, your instruction that you have given us, the word, your spirit that you have given us to give us understanding, one another, in order that we may grow together under Christ. As we leave out of here, dear Lord, help us to continue to focus on your word, to grow more and more each day, to get rid of those things that are hindering us, and to make sure that we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.